You might be able to teach or point to presence, but you can't teach or point to embodiment of presence. And once I saw that, I just started a podcast instead, so I could just express. Welcome to my podcast. This is Scott Killaby. This is my podcast, Natural Recovery from Suffering. Today's topic is trust. I didn't know anything about that until... I'm embarrassed to say not that many years ago, because of the embodiment process needed to happen before I could ever know what a deep trust in anything really was. I mean, there's this, okay, when I first had the initial recognition to with presence, why am I having trouble speaking today? The initial non-dual recognition, which was not embodied, there was a sense that everything comes and goes. And so you can trust in that really fully. When you keep seeing it every day and every moment, every thought comes and goes, every feeling comes and goes, every sensation doesn't come and go. Well, sensations are a little bit different. You know, chronic pain is chronic, but some sensations will come and go. And so I just noticed that. And, you know, you verify in your experience, just like the teachers say, that this is my experience. What I am is the awareness. Things are coming and going, but I'm not those things. Or you could say I'm all of those things. In either way, there's a trust with non-dual recognition, but it just isn't embodied. So it can't be a deep trust in life and oneself and what is, because there are buried emotions. Generally, even when you have an awakening experience, many people still have stuff that's buried. And that's the embodiment process. I remember listening to certain teachers that I felt were pretty eloquent and articulate around the trust issue as a part of the embodiment process. I remember Gangaji and Adyashanti both had some good things to say about trust that really resonated deeply with me. Because you could say that the awakening embodiment process is a process of trusting deeply in what is, in life itself. But how do you do that if you have certain things that don't ever arise? Don't even know that they're there. And you don't know that those buried emotions are creating the things that are arising. Where you're seeing and verifying your trust with things that are just safer than what you've buried. How deep can the trust go? It just can't. Until, and that's why I'm sharing about trust. You can probably get on the internet. Well, you're already on it right now. But go to Google and see if I've said anything about trust in the 16 years I've been teaching. See if you find anything on trust. If you do, I need to go delete it. Just send it to me. Just look, Scott, you were talking about trust in 2014. I'll say, I'm so sorry, I had no idea what I was talking about. I'll make sure that I take that down. But I'm pretty sure that I didn't talk about it much. It might be in one of my books. I'm not going to go edit the book. I'll just tell you, if you read in my books and I'm talking about trust, just pass over that paragraph. Don't fucking listen to him. Because he didn't trust himself. Me. Moi. To not trust myself. You could say, well, how did you write non-duality books? Well, when you don't know you have buried emotions, you don't know you don't trust yourself. You don't think there is a self because you've investigated everything that arises and you don't find a self anywhere. It's safe to then say, well, things come and go, but there's no self. What a bamboozle. Trust, let's just break it down maybe very simply first, is if I don't trust here in this body and mind, if I don't trust an emotion, and I never have, and it's been repressed, then I don't trust myself. Because that's probably one of the main emotions of life. And so then I'm not going to be able to trust you, because I have to stay safe from you, because you could bring up that emotion in me. And so then if I have emotional repression, I can't trust myself, I can't trust people, and I can't trust life. Now, I might say to myself or have some experience of trust or presence at the conscious level, but when it comes to actually deeply trusting in what is, I cannot, and neither can you, as long as emotions are buried, because you don't trust those emotions. And so you can't trust those emotions in other people. That's how shadow and repression works. I've learned so much about trust from repression work. It has changed everything for me. A before and after is what I'm trying to paint here for you on this podcast today. Is what is trust, or what did it look like before emotional repression work, and what does trust look like after? That's where we're going. Next segment, what did it look like before? When you have buried emotions, you obviously can't trust those emotions. And I couldn't. And then I couldn't trust my perceptions that came with those, with emotions. I couldn't trust the things I buried. And therefore, any of the perceptions that came with those things. So the suffering that came up in my life, I couldn't trust that, because it was very confusing and painful, you know, until I came to non-duality, and then I could just rest and allow it all. But before that, it was like, that trust, like that's such a foreign concept for someone who just has ego consciousness. Without any recognition of awareness, I can't imagine how anyone who just lives in ego consciousness could have anything to say about trust. Because we can't even trust, with the ego consciousness, we can't trust ourselves at all. And that's why we have false egos, because we don't trust the very emotions that are unprocessed for us that create those identities, false identities. But the same is true even when we come to spirituality or healing or awareness-based methods of practice or inquiry. Well, because we still have buried emotions. If we do, if we don't get to those in the beginning, then, well, we're going to, like I said, just experience a kind of a superficial trust in life. Because it comes down to what I said. As I said, if you can't trust certain emotions that you've buried, how can you really talk about this subject? I literally had no idea that I could resolve the trust issues in my life by simply trusting anger, finally. I had trusted vulnerability. Those emotions could be allowed to most degree, but I could never trust anger. I could even process fear much more easily than anger. I just couldn't trust it. And I didn't really know it. I couldn't even trust myself to know it. I had buried it. So, I mean, that's why I can't talk about trust before, other than to say, well, there was awareness here. And as for the things that arose, I trusted that they would come and go, and they did. And then I got chronic pain and almost killed myself, and apparently did not trust in life. But I told myself I did. And that's how most things go when you have repression, is that you tell yourself something at the surface that keeps you safe from what you've buried. And those are our false identities and stories. And one of my false identities and stories, even as a teacher, was, I hope I didn't say this too much, go look for it, just trust in what arises. That kind of talk. The kind of non-duality 101, meditation 101. Do you see a thought arising? Turn and notice that. Trust and allow that. Trust your experience, as they say. That's another one. How do we trust our experience when within our experience we have already buried certain emotions that we just have decided that we do not trust? They are non-trustable emotions and buried, And so the whole idea of trusting your experience in spirituality is a farce until you get to the buried emotions, because the buried emotions are creating the safer stuff. And we might be trusting that and trusting our experience with that, but that's all safer than the buried stuff, which we don't trust. So there's no way around this. The trusting our experience or trusting ourselves or trusting whatever, fuck it. Can't do it with repression. And we can't trust others. Holy shit. That's what it's like before and after. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust others. You can't trust authority. You can't trust your emotions. And that gets us in a bind with trauma and repression because we have authority issues. But authority issues are all self-trust issues, which are emotional repression issues. If I can't, again, trust my perceptions, my emotions, if I can't be the authority, so to speak, for my own experience and truly allow it all, then I might be triggered or even attracted to, or both, authority. So the authority shadow is a self-trust issue. And I learned that the right way by trusting the buried anger, which was creating my self-trust issue. And then all authority issues vanished because those were all coming from my repression. And I didn't have a lot because I had those spiritual shifts, but whatever was there, gone. Just gone. Because it was all me. Repression creates our shadows. Now, so after repression work, that's the before. After, well, I'll tell you how it unfolded here is, it did unfold, first of all. It's not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am experience. With repression work, it's an unfolding where you trust the process as much as you can and let it unfold. And as it did for me, there were a few really important milestones that changed me around trust. And I have to talk about these stories because they're so integral to awakening. Whoever says that the content isn't important in awakening, we can't even wake up except through it. Because the content is where the falseness is. And the falseness is coming from the repression. And if we pretend like the falseness isn't there or that it's not connected to the repression, how do we end the falseness? No, teachers say just rest and look at all this suffering or the falseness come and go, but it really won't if it's connected to the repression. And if all that suffering is keeping us safe, okay, so stay tuned. You know, our trauma draws us to people who can push our buttons. And Chester, among all people on earth, could from time to time push my buttons when we first got together, for sure. But what I learned early is through this repression work is when there was a real trigger there for me, I wasn't trusting myself with him. And up until the time I got with him, I would just go away and process triggers, as I've said. You know, I wouldn't get angry or defend myself or fight back in a conflict. I might discuss a few things, but I'm basically going to disconnect and be quiet and, you know, process stuff. When I met him, it didn't work that way because he was really overtly angry. And I knew that it was bringing something up in me. And the going away felt more like a trauma response in that relationship than before, because in other relationships, I could just sneak away and it didn't really, they weren't yelling at me. So you kind of, you know, you walk away fooling yourself into thinking you're not fleeing. But when somebody's yelling at you who's angry, well, it's obvious that when I'm going away, there's some energy in my body, like the flight response. And of course, fear. And I thought, well, the fear must be because he's yelling at me. He was yelling at me. Of course I'm afraid. I mean, anybody yells at you. But that's not what it was. I didn't trust myself. See, I had fooled myself into thinking I wasn't angry. See how I didn't trust myself? Because I was. And that was the chronic pain that would flare up when I was fleeing. But I was unconscious to it. So when I would flee, there I was. Look, there's nothing wrong with fleeing. That's exactly what needed to happen and might still happen in certain situations in my life. But it's just that I was also not trusting myself. And I didn't know what that meant. And I was not going to go away from him and just process fucking triggers. Because I knew that there was something more to see once Dan and I developed this repression work in those moments. And I could tell that just processing triggers was a bypass. I couldn't articulate it. So instead of processing the trigger, I went and processed the buried emotions and how I couldn't get angry and couldn't defend myself instead. Made that conscious, that conditioning. That changed everything because then I realized, well, the reason I'm fleeing is because I don't trust myself to stand there and say something or get angry or express a boundary. There's the lack of self-trust that I think a lot of people in spirituality experience when they walk away and process triggers or meditate their conflict away. But how many of us stand and express everything that's true for us authentically? And how many teachers even tell us that that's important? Some teachers would just say process or just let it all be. But you can't let buried stuff be because it's buried. So we can only process or allow what's safer than the buried stuff in these conflicts. So I think there's many people probably doing what I was doing, using spirituality to essentially unhook and not be authentic. And here we are in 2024. We've corrected the bypass and we've come together. And if you're listening, you're in a good place because now you don't have to do that. So first I had to trust myself with him because strangely with him being able to get angry, that felt safe eventually for me too. You know, think about it. Do you want to get angry with someone who's a real anger repressor? Try that. See what happens. But he didn't repress anger. So when I could eventually get angry, it felt safe enough to do that. It just didn't resolve the issue. It just made me healthier and I healed. And I could set some boundaries. And well, I trusted myself. But anger itself didn't resolve the conflicts. What resolved the conflicts was being able to express what was true for me and trusting myself. The anger had to come for that to happen. For anger repressors, we have to feel that anger because we can't trust a self that's repressed in the anger. We don't even know what boundary setting is if we've repressed our anger. So we can't be ourselves with repressed anger. I couldn't, and I couldn't trust myself with the person that I love the most because I couldn't love myself. I couldn't love that anger until I could. But then there were bumps along the road because you know how the process is if you're doing it. Just increasing freedom. People say you have a new consciousness every month or 3 months with KI, which is kind of true, really, because you're getting to the root of suffering. But it's a process because your system resists that. It doesn't want the freedom. It wants safety. And when you start doing KI, it just puts up all these barriers, seeming barriers and landings and sabotage to keep you safe. You just have to become skillful to catch yourself and be skillful with it. That's what I had to do. And that's why I preface this next story with that skill talk, because that's when my skill increased. This next story, which was, again, someone close to me who I felt I couldn't trust. Oh, there's that word. Yep, trust. It was just one of those situations where I felt like I couldn't. And Wow, I sat with that for a day, actually, which is a long time for me to sit with anything. And I knew it was something big. And here's the catch. Just like with all self-trust issues, we bamboozle ourselves into thinking they are not coming from emotional repression. You know, it's like, oh, I don't trust you. It's almost like it's shadowed out, but I don't trust me. I couldn't see it at first. And this has changed everything for me around boundary setting too. This right here, so listen closely. This is the big insight, and this is really one of the biggest in my own practice, is that during that day, when I realized there was just no way to resolve that trust issue, no way. In other words, I could just sit there in that trigger and feel like I don't trust somebody. That's one option. That's suffering. I couldn't speak up because I still had some repression. That really wasn't an option, like actually saying what I wanted to say to that person. I could say some things, but I still had some repression. So I couldn't say what I wanted to say. Limited option there. Leaving the relationship at that time, it wasn't a romantic relationship, was not possible at that time. So it's like being stuck there for a moment. That really wasn't an option at that time. It became an option later. So there I was. And there was another option, which if you do this work, you're probably going, well, what about the most important options, Scott? Like, what if this is anger repression like everything else in your life? And it was. But we bamboozled ourselves, or I did. And so I thought it was about trusting other people my whole life. And that day, I thought it was. But I went into how much anger was there over how I've never been able to trust people, certain kinds of people, and how I had to bury that anger and couldn't express it. And once I processed that, my inability to express it, I just started setting boundaries and saying things that I'd never said before to this person and other people. And I've been doing it ever since. It hasn't stopped. Since that day, ask the people around me. They will tell you that I trust myself now. It doesn't mean I'm always right. It means I can admit that I'm wrong because I trust myself and I can feel and express most everything. I'm not saying I'm done. I'm just saying you'll usually see me say if I'm wrong about something. People will probably tell you that. If there's anything that I don't take ownership of, I hope someone will say it to me. If I can't see it. But I'll also trust myself when I feel right about something. It's not really right or wrong. It's just being able, like seeing something. And the question is, can you express it? Can you express what you see, what you want, what you need, what's true for you? That's just something that was never trustable. Not truly trustable for me. As long as I had any anger repression. So that day shifted me somatically, energetically. And I just started trusting what I wanted to say to people. And I started saying things early in relationship, starting on that day. Everything changed about how I spoke to people when I first met them. Like I would say much more to them. I would say, this is what I want. This is how I like things. I just want you to know, like, these are my boundaries. This is just all that stuff. And I think people appreciated that, even in mentorship. And I've had much better relationships, wonderful relationships. Even the most challenging relationships have been wonderfully enriching because of my own repression work. I'm not lying to you, because if you trust yourself, you can just get through most anything. It doesn't mean that there aren't challenging times. That would be a lie. But trusting yourself is critical. And here's the last bit for you. There is no self to trust. And the non-dual traditions are right. It's just that we jump to those insights too quickly sometimes before the presence itself is embodied, before we've gotten to the unconsciousness that creates the distrust of others and ourselves. So that's what I did. Not trusting myself, but trusting the teachers who said, hey, there's no self, and gave me a few pointers to see it, but I didn't really trust myself to look deeply, deeply into that question of who am I, or is there a self? And that's the greatest insight of all, probably, around the trust is, well, it goes with trusting myself, is that there's no way I could really see no self and what that's truly pointing to until I got to the buried anger, because that was the root of my egoic activity. The repression created the distrust, the have to be good, the oh gosh, I'm bad, the right, wrong, painful duality, all of it. It was behind the trust issue for sure. So people have said, is this a non-dual seeing or am I a non-dual teacher? Yes, of course. See, this is so very non-dual. When you get to the buried stuff, then that's the thing you can never trust. And therefore, there's self-conditioning in that buried emotion. Quite a lot of it, actually. And it's demanding safety and survival as a separate self, frankly. But there's no self in the sensations of the body. There's no findable, separate, solid self living in time or anything else. It's just these trauma responses that demand certain reactions and responses to life, holding certain things back, identifying with certain things. And that's it. But it seems pretty real, doesn't it? So the no self is a true seeing. I mean, it's one way to say it. It's not the ultimate truth. It's just a way of saying, when you look deeply at what you are, you can't find a thing. And if you go deep enough with that down into the body, you live in a kind of freedom that feels like trusting a self that isn't there. It's not a thing that you're trusting. When all emotions are allowed, your experience is finally trusted, is what it is. Put the word self on there, it just sounds like a separate thing, but it's not. It's just like saying authentic self. That to me is not a belief or a story or an identity. That's what happens when you don't have those things anymore. And you've embodied presence and you've trusted everything, even the parts that you buried. And then you see nobody there. But you've embodied that nobody there. And that is not disconnection. That's not dissociation. That's not bypassing. That's not landing. That's not using spirituality to stay safe anymore. It's truly that realization is seen, and therefore there's nothing to hang on to with it. That's the thing about spirituality. It's like, oh, I finally saw the no self. When you embody it, it has to include the repression. Okay, cool. And then that's gone. Nothing to land on there. And if there was, that would just mean there's more unprocessed emotion. So there you go. Talk about trust. Trusting that everything that arises is arising to keep me alive and surviving as a separate self. And therefore just going straight to the repression that creates it all. And trusting that that would end suffering. And it did. Trust that. But trust yourself first. Become skillful. And a good way to start is to go to repressiontest.com. That's where we keep our free repression test. That joins you automatically or adds you to our newsletter. Then I'd like to put some links in the description of the podcast, including like a link to mentorship. That's our highly recommended way of learning the repression work. And then also the do-it-yourself course if you want to learn it on your own. Thank you so much for listening.